everyone, and welcome back to Moving Right Along, a Muppet movie podcast brought to you by ToughPigs.com. It's the podcast where we watch Muppet Treasure Island 2 minutes at a time and talk about it a lot. I'm your host, Anthony Strand.
And I'm your other host, Ryan Rowe.
And joining us today, we have a very special guest star, the Muppet Newsman himself. Who is it?
Hello, my name is Shane Keating, and I hope nothing falls on my head now.
Yeah, you write all the news articles for Tough Pigs. That's what I meant.
And we're so glad you do.
I know. I did get hit by an Elmo Funko Pop after I put up that news bit. So,
oh, hey, a lot of people wanted one of those, so you're lucky.
Yeah, I guess the way to get free merchandise is to, report it, and then it'll just, I need a lot of aspirin, so.
Yeah. Oh, it was very painful when I wrote that article about the Labyrinth pinball game.
I'll bet. We should write news articles about aspirin. Then we'll get free aspirin.
Yeah. That's
then you'll get free aspirin. There you go.
That's the problem solved.
What if they made aspirin with the characters from Bratz of the Lost Nebula on it? Then we could report on it.
Oh, on the bottom. Boy.
You know, they put Sesame Street characters on stickers on fruit because there were those studies that it made kids more likely to eat fruit. So maybe they should put stickers of Bratz of the Lost Nebula characters.
Instead of Fred and Barney-shaped vitamins, there should be Triply and Ryle-shaped vitamins.
Yes. Speaking as a parent of currently young children, basically, my kids both still, Iris is 9, and they love it when the sticker is, hey, hey, or whatever, on a banana.
Oh, like
they
go nuts.
They love it.
Yeah. Great.
So it really, and my kids love bananas anyway. It's not like they're turning down bananas until they see Hey Hey the chicken on the side.
Yeah.
But they do love that. Especially because it says the logo says Disney Princess and then it's a picture of Hey Hey. They find that very amusing.
I find that amusing. That's good, yeah.
Yeah. All right, but I think this is the second time I've tried to talk about Moana instead of a Muppet movie. And we're not talking about that. Yeah, in these minutes, we're talking about, did I say 11 and 12? I don't think I did. Today, we're talking about minutes 11 and 12 of Muppet Treasure Island. In these minutes, Blind Pew comes looking for Billy Bones. But before that happens, we start out with the very end of the song, Something Better. And as the song ends, Billy Bones walks into the room and yells, "Enough with this singing! Rum! I need rum, lads!" Which is the first of at least two jokes in this movie about how characters are surprised that they're singing or don't want to hear singing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that. So the Muppets love making self-aware jokes. Like, there have been times where they talk about, reading the screenplay or you're interrupting the movie and stuff like that. I can't think of another time in any of the previous movies yet where they did a joke like this, where they acknowledge the fact that they've just been singing, other than like Great Muppet Caper Piggy says your friends don't have to play so loud during nightlife, but that's more of an obvious, diegetic performance where we actually see the band playing instruments. Whereas this is the typical musical thing where they're just singing and there's an invisible orchestra. Hi, this is Ryan in the future, and I know exactly what you're thinking. There is another example of characters in a Muppet movie commenting on the fact that somebody was just singing during a musical number, and it's also from The Great Muppet Caper, and it's when Miss Piggy is yelling at Charles Grodin and says, "You can't even sing, your voice was dubbed." I did not think of that example when we were recording. For some reason, I didn't think of it. It did not occur to me until after we had recorded this episode. But I remembered it just in time before this episode went out into the world. So, phew, what a relief. And if you think of any other examples, please let me know. But you don't have to let me know about that one, because I just remembered it. And now back to the podcast.
I didn't take this as a one of those fourth wall breaking jokes, though.
You think Billy Bones is just annoyed that he lives in a musical?
I just didn't think anything of that line.
But do you think Billy Bones can hear the orchestra? And do you think Jim and Gonzo and Rizzo can hear the orchestra?
I mean, they must. Otherwise, what would they be singing to?
Yeah.
I It is my assumption that all characters who live in a musical, like when they are singing, they can hear the instruments. Like that's part of life in a musical.
I guess
why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, I guess I always just assume that that's they're just sort of talking, and it's just kind of a dreamlike, I don't know, alternate state of reality that doesn't happen in our own reality. I don't know. But it's an interesting thing to think about.
That's because of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That's why you think that.
Well, that they do explain. Yeah, yeah. Explain why there are musical numbers. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Great show. Anyways, what happens in this movie? I'm just like, what else can we talk about? Billy Bones. He says, "I got the horrors. Give me rum." He asks for rum a third time.
Well, did you either of you Google the horrors as I did?
I did not.
Please enlighten us.
So this is a real thing. It's an old timey term referring basically to withdrawal symptoms from alcohol. It is also known as delirium tremens. So like a physical feeling, like a sickness that results from withdrawal from alcohol. Huh. So yeah, and the horrors. What a name for it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the movie certainly never says out loud that Billy Bones is an alcoholic, but it makes sense.
Yeah, and actually, I don't know if I had that in my notes for this week, but there was something on the Brian Henson DVD commentary where he noted that they kind of went back and forth on whether they should actually make him like an alcoholic for real, and they just decided, you know, it's this kind of crazy piratey character, so they just went for it.
Yeah, you get that he's kind of a drunkard without making him a total Barney Gumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. So he's beat, speaking of him being a drunkard, he's swinging his sword around, he's breaking glasses. Gonzo and Rizzo hide under the table because they're so afraid of him. And then he swings, keeps happening, he swings around for a little while. Finally, Jim agrees to let him have one small drink. Mm-hmm. And Jim is 12. Like, it's pretty sad that he has, like, if you really think about it, it's pretty sad that Jim is like, I'll get you a drink. He's a young boy.
Yeah, he's just serving alcohol to all these drunken sailors and ne'er-do-wells.
Well, that's why he wants something better.
Right.
Yes.
They deserve wine.
That's right. That's right.
Not grog.
right. There should be a line in the song about how he doesn't want to keep pouring rum.
They should be getting Pinot Noir.
There should be a line in the song about, that when I get a drink and serve it to my talking stein, instead of grog, I wish that it was some high quality wine. Something like that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's it.
Sure. They just call me Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil. All right. So then Mrs. Blueridge yells from the next room not to give him any more rum. And Billy Bones says, "How does she bloody do that?"
Yeah, that's a bad word, now, isn't it?
It's a bad word. So I was actually looking about this. I was wondering, like, how bad is it really in the UK? Like, we hear about it. We as Americans hear about it being a swear word in the UK. But, like, I don't know. They say it on, like, Monty Python all the time or whatever, you know? And yeah, I mean, so not, apparently
Monty Python's
it's, like,
not exactly known for being clean, wholesome comedy.
No, right. But I mean, like, they don't say the F word in Monty Python episodes
on
Flying Circus, you know, or whatever. Right. In the movies they did. Yeah. Some of the movies, not Holy Grail. I found an article from The Guardian from 2021. It's titled "A Bloody Shame. Britons Find a New Favorite Swear Word," August 20th, 2021. And it was about linguistic study that found that bloody had long been the most commonly used swear word in England, and it was overtaken by the F word.
Whoa.
Ooh.
So that was based on data on the use of 16 swear words in the 90s to the 2010s.
Wow. So they really jumped from 0 to 60 there.
Yeah, I guess so.
By which I mean 0 to 60 kilometers per hour.
This movie might have made the survey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Even though it takes place anyways, in the 1800s. So.
Right, but it's a family movie.
Well, and in the UK he doesn't say it. In the UK,
all right, says, they replaced.
Yeah, let me double check because I thought I had written it down, but I didn't. Okay, Muppet Treasure Island deleted scenes. In the UK, Billy Bones said, how does she bloomin' do that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and please note also that Billy Bones is the one who says bloody. Jim and the Muppets both all don't say it.
Yeah,
well, earlier they just said, how does she do that?
Right, yeah, he's a scoundrel, so he can, you know, make sense for him to do it.
And he's
right.
drunk. He's not right. in control of his words.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
His darkest impulses are coming forward.
Yeah. Although, again, like we talked about the last time, Billy Bones is yelling, I want rum, boy. Well, he's yelling very loudly. So it's really not that big of a surprise that Mrs. Bloveridge can hear him from the next room.
Like, no, I wrote that down. Yeah. In this case, yeah, of course she would hear him.
Yeah, I didn't understand the joke this time.
I mean, it's just a callback, but it's not, it doesn't really hold up to scrutiny.
Yeah, there's a lot of jokes in this movie I don't really understand.
Well, I feel like the point of the line is different every time they say it, almost.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, the next time they do it, she doesn't say, it's in response to her, like, busting through the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Or something with the pirates.
Right, it's not hearing, yeah.
Hmm.
That's true.
So they're just always generally impressed by her. They're always wondering, how does she do that?
How does she do it?
How does she run a business as a single woman?
Right.
In the 1800s.
In the 1880s.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Bloody Maybelline.
Apparently, as we talked about, the novel is actually set in 1759.
So. Mm. I'm going to have to remember that. Okay, 1759.
Yes, the novel is set well over 100 years earlier. You know.
But is there anything that you've seen in the movie so far that contradicts that?
Yes. Gonzo started talking about the opening narration of Star Trek.
Well, I guess that settles that.
Yep.
Tell CinemaSins.
Yeah, dude, get him out of here. But anyways, then Billy Bones shushes the others. And then it's a full 21 seconds of tension before we see who it is.
Yeah.
Right. There's some knocking outside. We hear some shuffling around. Jim opens the door.
It's another Dutch angle, like the scary part in Christmas Carol.
Right. Right. Well, I was going to say on Christmas Carol, we talked a lot about how confident Brian Henson was at letting those quiet moments play out. And this is another great example of that.
Yeah.
I love that angle, the crooked angle. And I love that, like, all the sets in this movie are crooked. Like, they're all very angular with, like, forced perspective. And the door, like, if the shot was straight, the door would still look crooked because that's just the way it's built.
I had forgotten how similar it is to Christmas Carol in that way, too, where they were not going for realism with the sets. It's all kind of expressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the same production designer.
Yes, Val Strazovec.
Val Strazovec doing good work here again, I think.
Yeah.
Here, certainly. In the inn. Looks great. But who busts in the door? It's Blind Pew. It's Jerry Nelson doing a French accent.
It's Blind Pew.
Blind Pew. Because the way that Jerry Nelson says Blind Pew is like, it's a real fan favorite. It's like, it's one of the things you hear about when people bring up this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jerry Nelson's great always. I've never seen a Jerry Nelson performance where I'm like, no, turn it down. but I think the best thing about this character is the puppet itself, which
is
gorgeous. Like it, and we should note it was designed by Michael Frith and built by Ed Christie.
Mm-hmm.
So huge props to both
of
them.
I've always thought that he looks like he could be related to Uncle Dudley, who was also designed by Michael Frith.
I was just thinking
he could be a dragon, he could be some kind of lizard. He just looks so cool.
Well, and I've definitely seen comments online. You know what, how people like half remember Muppet things?
Yeah.
Like Uncle Dudley blew back up again, it was like, well, he was in Muppet Treasure Island. He played the blind guy. Or, you know, like, I've definitely seen comments like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see the confusion.
But he's a little Skeksis-ish too, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, the puppets are like much... The Skeksis puppets are much more detailed and naturalistic, but...
Yeah, but I see...
There's something about his, like, scaliness, kind of.
Yeah.
And the clothing making him seem a little bit bigger than he probably is.
Right.
Yeah. Right, for sure.
Yeah, we don't actually see his feet, but we do get a head-to-toe full shot of his whole body here.
Mm-hmm.
Which means
he's wearing like long clothes,
like in a trench behind the puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right.
because you do see the floor underneath.
Right, exactly. Blackbeard. There's a step, yeah, that he's standing on. So, and then I just love when the blue, like there's a spooky blue light under the door,
yeah,
right before Jem opens the door, and then he's just like bathed in the spooky blue light from behind when he's
revealed. It doesn't wash him out at all,
because really
he
cool.
is also a light blue.
Oh yeah,
puppet, but
right, yeah.
There's just enough that you can make him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, what does he actually do? He comes in, he stumbles around, he calls Billy Bones a sniveling coward. Mm-hmm. And then Gonzo and Rizzo, who are still under the table, Rizzo says, it's some kind of blind fiend. And Gonzo says, I believe they prefer visually challenged fiend. Now, this type of joke was very, very common in the 90s.
That is exactly. I wrote down jokes like this were everywhere in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was this thing of like, hey, can you believe this political correctness? Everything has to be called by a different name now. It was like, yeah, this comedy writers loved this kind of joke.
I don't think that's gone away at all.
The Muppets did it other times too. There's something on the tip of my tongue, another example of the Muppets doing it, like something challenged. Like there's a monster, like, oh, it's a scary monster, actually. Oh, is it on the Jim Henson Hour, actually?
Yes, like, I know actually, exactly we what prefer... you're thinking. Of. Cosmetically challenged.
Yeah, I think that,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah.
So,
you know, it's funny, for whatever reason, when I think of jokes like this, I think of an M&M's commercial, which has become a hot button issue lately, but this was in the 90s. When they changed the name of plain M&Ms to milk chocolate M&Ms, mm-hmm. There was a commercial where it was like all these people being like, I'm not a custodian. I'm a hygienic maintenance engineer or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Same
and then it ends with, and then it ends with the red M&M saying, I'm not plain. I'm milk chocolate.
Wow.
Or whatever. And yet, that has stuck in my mind for whatever reason.
And yet millions of people still call those M&Ms plain today, to this very day.
Yeah. Because why not? Because you know why, though?
Peanut M&Ms also air enough?
Commercial didn't air enough, true. But also, peanut M&Ms also have milk chocolate in them.
Yeah, like, most of them do.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, so here's my question then. Does this 90s political correctness joke actually make any of this funnier?
It's an interesting thing because... we are meant to laugh at a blind character stumbling around. I don't think the joke makes it better. It's also interesting that he refers to himself as visually challenged in a minute.
Right. Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem to bother him. Like he is tripping, but he seems undeterred by it.
But he also seems... Once he gets inside, he seems incompetent. Maybe we should say he feels a moose head. He grabs it. He says that the moose head is Billy Bones.
Right.
And then he's going to grab Jim and feel Jim's hair and say that Jim is a girl.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's going to like hit both walls while trying to do all.
Yeah.
So he seems so incompetent with navigating his surroundings once he's inside. Mm-hmm. That it seems impossible that he made it there.
Yeah. He would have fallen in a river somewhere before he
right,
actually got
right.
to the
like,
end. Yeah.
An open like, manhole.
Yeah.
Right. And like, and seems, I mean, I guess it's like a joke. And like you say, it's like Mr. Magoo jokes, right? It's like this guy can't see. So he's just like grabbing things and calling them the wrong name or whatever. Yeah. But he's also supposed to be scary. Like in this movie,
right.
He's supposed to be intimidating.
Yes, because in the mm-hmm. book, he's very scary.
Right, yes, as we'll talk about later.
Yeah, so I guess when you're, if you're a comedy writer writing a movie that's mostly a comedy, it's very tempting to just make a blind character stumble all over the place and do things like this. But yeah, it is, but he still does manage to be pretty scary.
Right. Well, I think he's scarier than he is funny because of that design.
Yeah.
You know, and because the jokes aren't actually very good. You know, I mean, it's just like he grabs Jim's hair and says, a pretty little girl. You know who else has long hair longer than Jim's?
Blind Pew?
Alice Cooper?
Yeah. Blind Pew. Oh. Billy Bones. Like
oh,
every
yeah.
man in this. It seems like men having long hair seems very common.
The beer stein
world. Yeah, it's a beer stein. So, like, there's no reason why he would assume, long hair equals girl, except it's a cheap joke. No, you know,
that seems pretty arbitrary.
But again, like, I also just don't think it's like, if any of this was funny, it wouldn't bother me.
I almost wonder if it would have been better if they just didn't try to make this character funny, then just make Blind Pew scary and leave it at that.
Yeah. Although I jumped over one joke that I actually do like, which is when he feels the moose head is alive.
Yes.
Like the moose head kind of goes.
It's a Muppet moose head, which we kind of saw in the background earlier, but it wasn't moving. And now you're like, oh yeah, sure. It's a Muppet moose head. It's alive. I was curious to know whether this was the same puppet as Mickey Moose from the Petula Clark episode of The Muppet Show. So I checked the wiki. Mm. It is not, but I had forgotten that this moose shows up again in Muppets from Space on the wall in the boarding house, the Muppet boarding house.
So dancing during, kind of like Groove into Brick House, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see him again.
Yeah. And he, you know what he reminds me of is the Gump from Return to Oz.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Which is a movie that Brian Henson is in.
Yeah.
Plays Jack Pumpkinhead. And in that movie, the Gump is just like basically a mounted moose head that they tie to a couch.
And, it's like the Oz equivalent of a moose.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen it.
I don't know what to tell you about Return to Oz, except it's fun.
It's weird. I think it's pretty great. I know. Yeah, it's one of those I wouldn't recommend it to everyone without reservations because it is so weird. But
Here's what I'm saying, Shane. Mm-hmm. Ryan and I, two guys who love the Jim Henson Hour, also love Return to Oz.
Yeah.
I think that is like a fair statement of its appeal. Like if you want to see like some weird 80s movie with a lot of fun puppetry and animatronics
and that's weird, there it is. Dark stuff that's intended for children, but also would terrify them.
Well, I also haven't seen all of the Jim Henson Hour either.
What?
Yeah. I mean, but that just means you have more delights awaiting you.
Yes.
You know, I wish I could see the Jim Henson Hour with new eyes. Wow.
What a gift. Being experiencing Lighthouse Island for the first time.
Lighthouse Island is the worst thing Jerry Jewell ever wrote, I think. Considerably worse than this movie. I really do feel that way. So anyways, we should, but you know what? We should do a podcast about 2 minutes at a time, Lighthouse Island.
Oh yeah.
But anyways, so
it'll be called The Podcast with No Name.
It doesn't have a name. That's why it's called the No Name.
Yeah, No Name Bar.
Bad, terrible program. oh man. Okay. What else happens on this? Jim says that after Blind Pew grabs Jim's hair and calls him a girl, Jim says that there's no Billy Bones. And that's when, as you alluded to, Ryan, Blind Pew says, "I may be visually challenged, but I can see you're lying." Mm-hmm. So that's where he says it.
But and his inflections are great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jerry Nelson's the king.
Would you like to recreate them, Shane?
Oh, he said, "I may be visually challenged, but I can see you're lying."
Yep.
Yeah. That's great. So, but meanwhile, while all this is going on, Billy Bones pulls out a revolver and he points it right at Blind Pew. He pulls it out. This isn't a lot of gunplay in this movie.
Yeah.
And then Blind Pew senses this with his Matt Murdock-esque radar sense.
Or his super hearing, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
The sound of the gun cocking.
Oh, that's true. He does cock the gun. That's true.
Yeah.
But he spins around. He knocks the gun out of Billy's hand with his sword and says, "Good evening, Bill." And that's where we end.
Yeah, I love I think it's called a whip zoom on going from the gun. Like, there's super fast zoom in on Blind Pew realizing that this gun is being aimed at him. It kind of feels like something from a different movie, like some kind of action movie, but it's really
cool. Yeah, it is really cool. I agree.
Yeah.
Blind Pew should be the hero of this movie.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of him after these. I mean, he's going to come back, but after the first maybe 20 minutes of this, he's gone. So yeah, they should have.
Right. Yeah.
They should have. I don't know. It's already such a loose adaptation of the book. Make Blind Pew come back.
We don't even know what happens to him and the other pirates.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he could be one of Long John's pirates. That'd be fine.
Although I guess that would have tipped off the good guys that something was amiss with the crew of the Hispaniola.
Yeah, apparently Did you guys know that he's a gulag prisoner in Muppets Most Wanted? I'm just reading that on the wiki.
I was probably going to mention that.
Yeah, I didn't until I looked him up on Muppet Wiki today.
Yeah. Stripped he looks mega cool without his eye patch.
Yeah, I was going to say, he doesn't have his eye patches, so yeah, he's not just like...
Even creepier, maybe.
Yeah. It also looks like he's deteriorated a little bit over the course of those 18 years.
Yeah, I think probably.
Which I think makes him look even creepier, too.
Yeah.
Sure, and he also was not built for the scrutiny of high definition originally. Oh, yeah.
Right, right. Unlike Thog. And then, okay, that's the end. Yeah, any other thoughts before we move on? Shane, I'll start with you. Any other thoughts on these 2 minutes?
So I'm assuming you are following along with the original book.
Yes, I'm about to open The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde right after this.
And the screenplay, correct?
Yes,
Ryan has an earlier draft of the screenplay.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that in a minute, too.
Are you also following along with the CD-ROM game?
No.
No, we're planning to do a bonus episode on it later.
Oh.
Or, yeah, an episode where we go in depth about it. Yeah.
But if you have CD-ROM game thoughts, by all means.
Yes, please.
Well, I just wanted to see how this scene compares to the CD-ROM game. And I don't know if... Have you talked about it at all? Do people know?
Really, I think we mentioned that it existed, but
well, it's like a point and click adventure. Is that how you would describe
that kind of game? Yeah, point and click adventure game. Yeah,
with like live action video of all the Muppets and Tim Curry and what is his name? Billy Bones. What is the actor?
Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly. That's right. So the way this scene plays out is Blind Pew walks past the window outside of the inn, says he has a message for Billy Bones, and that's about it.
Huh.
He doesn't come inside.
I've never played it. I've never watched a walkthrough, which I guess I should do for this podcast, but I didn't even assume that it follows the whole narrative of the movie. But I guess that makes sense. You want to...
I think it loosely follows it.
Yeah, okay.
Because they insert little mini games and stuff.
Right. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. I should check that out. And that was the golden age of CD-ROM. So it was like you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was.
Came on 3 discs, I think.
Okay.
Wow.
But it would have been so cool to get a computer game and have real brand new video of the Muppets and the stars of the movie on it.
Yeah. And also the moose. You can click on the moose and it actually talks.
Oh. What does the moose say?
He says a bunch of things. It's John Kennedy.
Okay.
Is it really?
Yes, doing a pretty bad English accent. But great. One of the things he says was like, hey, were you expecting Bullwinkle?
Huh.
Yeah, it sounds like the Monty Python and the Holy Grail CD-ROM, where a lot of famous scenes from the movie are recreated, and while you're in the scene, you can just click on things in the background and silly things will happen.
Yeah. And just one more thing from that, because I thought it was really bad, but it's another Blind Pew joke. If you click on the window, he like walks past and says something. And one of the things he says is something like, oh, you have a visit from an old friend. I'm here to see you. I'm like, get it? See? Because I'm blind. That's a joke.
That's what he says.
More or less.
And it's Jerry Nelson.
Yes.
Huh.
Wow. All right.
He says, get it? See you?
Kind of. Yeah.
Wow. That's, yeah.
Not good.
No.
No. Doesn't sound good at all. I'm excited to watch the whole thing and then do an episode about it. All right. Ryan, do you have any other thoughts to share
before we close? I have one little thing from the screenplay draft, but Billy Connolly did an interview with the website Den of Geek in 2014. And when they asked him about working with the Muppets, one of his comments was, quote, I think they're outstanding. I can't do a Scottish accent. I love them. The bigger they get, the happier I become. Blind Pew on Muppet Treasure Island was 2 people. He was coming towards me and I was quite scared. It was as scary as the samurai coming through the woods on The Last Samurai. So that was one of the highlights of filming for him, was having Blind Pew attack him.
Was he in that movie?
Understandably.
Yes, he's in The Last Samurai.
Yes, he's in that Last Samurai, yeah.
Okay, he wasn't just in the audience. Not just like, thinking, it's not just like...
It's not like it was, right, it was just like the Wicked Witch coming at Dorothy.
That train is coming right at us.
It was just... Right, it was just a highlight. Okay, here's what I don't understand about the train is coming right at us. All right? Here's why I don't believe that for a second. That's a silent film. Sirs,
true. Like,
even if it's 1903, you're watching a movie with no sound foot. Like, there's no sound of a train. You don't think there's a train coming out? That's something someone made up in the 50s. Come on, like that didn't happen.
Well, do you think it was made up in the 50s, or do you think it was somebody involved in the making or exhibition of the movie made it up as a like a PR story to brag about how. True. Like, yeah, what an amazing new medium they had on their hands.
Yeah, that might be now. Yeah, that might be true. Or I just have a hard time imagining any like what the organ music. Music sounds like a train barreling at you. Like,
or maybe the Doppler effect just wasn't invented yet.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I would not be surprised at all to learn that the anecdote about people thinking the train was really coming at them is not really true. So many of those old. Like Hollywood and showbiz anecdotes are not true if you really research right. them. So then though,
and then the script.
Yeah. Yeah. Which by the way, I said in a previous episode, so I've been referring to it as the June 1st, 1994 draft. And then I think on one episode I said 1993. And that's because on the title page, it says June 1st, 1994, but the headers on every page of the document say 1993. So I don't know what's going on there. 94 seems more likely to me, given right, how far yeah. along in the process it is, because it's several drafts in. So I'm going to keep referring to it as 1994, I think. So there's actually a completely different scene before Blaine Pugh even shows up. Mrs. Bluebridge tells Jim and his friends to bring Captain Smollett his supper, because I think I mentioned this in a previous episode. In this draft, Captain Smollett owns the inn, and while they're on the way to his room, Gonzo has the idea to sneak into Billy Bones' room and see what's in his sea chest. They pick the lock to Billy's room, and they just stand there, like, trying to muster up the courage to go in, but then Mrs. Bluebridge catches them before they actually can check, so that's, like, kind of a pointless scene, really. But then they go into Captain Smollett's room and bring him his supper, and there's Kermit the Frog sitting at a desk, staring out the window, looking at the ocean. He's also reading a pile of old letters written on pink paper. And he's embarrassed, and he tells everyone that they're just receipts that he's reviewing. He tells Jim that he wants Jim to start helping him do the bookkeeping for the inn. Jim protests that he should be out there having adventures at sea. And Captain Smollett gets mad and tells Jim that he should stay away from the sea. The sea is what cost his father his life, and Jim should just focus on his work. He tells Jim and Gonzo and Rizzo that they're like sons to him, and they're going to inherit the inn someday. So wow. I understand the desire to introduce the famous Muppet character Kermit the Frog earlier in the movie, mm-hmm. but it's pretty clear why they changed this, because it really changes the whole father-son dynamic between Jim and Long John later, or kind of makes it redundant or less effective. Because if Captain Smollett is a father figure to Jim and to Gonzo and to Rizzo, then it's kind of like, yeah, it just makes much less sense for Long John and Jim to have that father-son dynamic. So, yeah. But it's interesting.
Yeah, this is all new information to me.
Yeah, it's
right.
It's
yeah, I didn't know anything about any of this. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So then finally, I will open up the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and actually, we have something to talk about in this one, because this is we're actually getting into stuff that's in the book.
Oh,
that's in Treasure Island.
Do tell.
Well, because like, unlike Mrs. Bluebridge and unlike washing yeah. dishes or whatever, like
or the cow that gets squished.
Yeah, I know the cow that gets squished. Blind Pugh is, of course, a character in the novel. And as you said, Ryan, he's a much scarier one. So it's very different. I mean, he actually just like arrives at the inn and checks in as a guest. Hmm. Like he just like comes up to the desk and wants a room, you know? And Jim talks about how Jim says, "I never heard a voice so cruel and cold and ugly." Ooh. As that blind man's, you know, and I was so utterly terrified of the blind beggar that I forgot my terror of the captain. The captain being Black Dog, who we will meet later in this movie, but who arrives looking for Billy Bones earlier in the book.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's been so long since I read the book. I got to start reading it again.
Right. And indeed, after Black Dog first shows up, Billy runs to Jim, specifically asks him for rum, and then tells him that he, Billy Bones, needs to leave. Like, says, "I need to get out of here."
Hmm.
So I think, like, the rum, "I need rum," like, that's from that scene in the book.
Okay.
Yeah, obviously, we're not going to talk about why Blind Pew is there specifically until next week, because he hasn't mentioned it yet.
Oh, yeah. Why does he want to talk to Billy Bones?
Yeah, he just wants to have a reunion with Black Dog and Billy Bones.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Hey, Billy, how you doing?
He wants recommendations for a good restaurant.
Yeah.
In the area.
You're at a good restaurant, sir. The Admiral Benbow Inn, Black Cove. So anyways, that's a little bit from the book. Shane, we asked every guest, we're asking them two questions this year. It's a discount from last year. Just two questions. What's your history with the movie?
Okay. So I don't remember when I first saw it, but people, obviously they will not be able to see this because it is an audio podcast, but I have in my hand here a VHS tape. Oh my, you can't even see it on Zoom, yeah. But it's a VHS tape of, we taped it off of pay-per-view.
Oh.
So that is how I saw this movie. So
to be clear, it is a blank VHS. I mean, it's not blank because it has a
commercially
movie on it,
bought JVC VHS.
JVC
tape.
High performance, yes. Like VHS video cassette.
Yeah.
Yes. And on the label, it is handwritten Muppet Treasure Island.
Yes.
So your parents paid to watch that on pay-per-view. I wonder how much that cost at the time.
I did not even think to look it up. Yeah. I didn't even think to look up like when this would have been.
I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know where we could find that information even.
Because when did movies, like, would they hit pay-per-view first and then go to like commercial video, or?
I don't remember.
And like, how long would that window be?
Yeah, I don't know. Listeners, if you happen to know the answer to these questions, let us know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, in. Boy, I don't know. I only got 17 channels in 1996.
But so, yeah, sheesh. I guess that's the first time I watched it. And I watched it, you know, like a lot of kids, when you have something on tape, you watched it over and over and over again. So, and this was only like one of two Muppet videotapes that we had, because like all the rest were Sesame ones. So this one got.
So then we got to ask, pretty good rotation. What was the other one?
Muppet Christmas Carol.
Aha.
Oh, an adaptation boy. That's why you're always sitting around being like, take any movie, recast it with all Muppets but one human.
Yep. I'm the one who started the trend.
I think I apologize made fun for of that meme in every episode so far.
Probably. Well, it's funny because I think because this movie feels more like that meme.
Yeah.
Than Chris does, maybe. I don't know.
You should make that the third question.
What movie would you least like to see with Muppets?
Sure.
Yeah, my answer to that is every movie that doesn't have Muppets in it. So Shane, and then the other question is, where, having seen it many times as a child, where now as an adult do you rank it among the Muppet movies?
Oh, it's probably at the bottom. Not like
number eight.
Very bottom is Muppets from Space, but I think this one comes ahead of that one.
Okay, sure.
I can't even remember the last time I've watched this, but I know the last time I did, I came out of it with like an empty feeling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds right. So anyways, thank you for joining us today, Shane.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. And listeners, thank you for listening to the podcast. And we'll be back next week with another episode. And in the meantime, you can always read toughpigs.com on the internet. You can follow us on various social media. You can join the Tough Pigs Discord server, which which is humming along like a spirited evening at the Admiral Benbow Inn.
Plug, plug.
You can become a patron of ours on Patreon. You can email us at movingrightalong@toughpigs.com to tell us what your thoughts are about political correctness jokes. You can follow Ryan on Blue Sky at me, Ryan Rowe. You can follow Anthony on Blue Sky at Durwood Clapper. You can follow Ryan on Letterboxd at Movies Are Neat and Anthony on Letterboxd at Zeppo Marxist. Shane, where can the listeners find you and or your work?
You can find me on thetoughpigs.com, but also I'm still on X, just waiting for the ship to sink.
Sure.
Yeah, X completely X no longer marks the spot in that case.
It does not. Ah, I get it. It's a treasure joke.
Pirate.
But I'm there as Sock Drawer, so S-O-K Drawer. I'm also on Blue. I'm not on Blue Sky as often, but I am there as the same handle, and also the same handle on Letterboxd. So you can follow me there and see what two words I describe the new movie sensation, Argyle.
Oh. Only two words.
Did you just post that? I don't think I've seen it.
Tuesday night.
All right. I saw it. Let's see.
I have to look for it. Is it a spoiler? Favorite,
don't spoil it for the people.
I'm not. I'm just going to go read it. I just want to go see. Let's see.
I won't spoil it for any of the listeners.
I'm also, while you're looking at that, I will just mention that our Patreon patrons have already gotten to hear the season premiere of this podcast before everyone else. That was posted a couple of days ago. So that's
incentive.
Yes, bonus stuff that you'll get from Patreon.
Yes.
That sounds like a good description of the movie. All right. So, thank you.
Follow me to find out what it is.
Thank you again, Shane.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, of course. Yes. And anytime, pal. Thank you as well to Morgan Davey for designing our logo. And thank you, listeners, for giving us a positive review on iTunes, on YouTube Music, in the streets, wherever you've given us positive reviews. And thank you for joining us next week for another episode of Moving Right Along. Goodbye.